We turn our attention now to the gospel lesson, the lectionary reading for this, the sixth Sunday of Easter. I invite you, if you have a pew Bible handy, turn, it's on page 103, to the 14th chapter of the gospel according to John. We'll be reading from beginning with the 15th verse. I encourage you to listen for the word of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who have died in service to their country. And it's ironic, isn't it, that it is in war that we find some of the most moving and powerful descriptions of laying down one's life for friends. Ironic in that as Christians we are called to be peacemakers. Yet it is in the trenches of life, whether that be a field in Gettysburg, a bunker in France, a rice paddy in Vietnam, a desert in Iraq, a village in Afghanistan, or a cross in Palestine, that laying down one's life becomes real and painful. As I generally share on each Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day started back in the later 1800s as a way of commemorating the dead of both the northern and southern branches of these United States following the Civil War. One of the most famous speeches from Memorial Day was delivered by Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., who served as a Supreme Court justice for more than 30 years. And one of my favorite quotes comes from Holmes. When asked about success, Holmes replied, "Young man, the secret of my success is that at an early age I discovered that I was not God." Wisdom for all of us to remember. Anyway, on Memorial Day 1884, somewhat 19 or 20 years after the end of the Civil War, Holmes shared words that transcend the immediate war, the Civil War, to include all wars. "The generation that carried on the war has been set apart by its experience. Through our great good fortune in our youth, our hearts were touched with fire. It was given to us to learn at the outset that life is a profound and passionate thing. Such hearts, ah me, how many, were stilled 20 years ago. And to us who remain left is behind this day of memories. Every year in the full tide of spring, at the height of the symphony of flowers and love and life, there comes a pause, and through the silence we hear the lonely pipe of death. Year after year, lovers wandering under the apple trees and through the clover and deep grass are surprised with sudden tears as they see black-veiled figures stealing through the morning to a soldier's grave. Year after year, the comrades of the dead follow with public honor, procession, and commemorative flags and funeral march. Honor and grief from us who stand almost alone and have seen the best and noblest of our generation pass away. But grief is not the end of all. I seem to hear the funeral march become a paean. I see beyond the forest the moving banners of a hidden column. Our brothers, our dead brothers, still live for us and bid us think of life, not death. Of life to which in their youth they lent the passion and joy of the spring. As I listen, the great chorus of life and joy begins again. And amid the awful orchestra of seen and unseen powers and destinies of good and evil, our trumpets sound once more a note of daring, hope, and will. But grief is not the end of all. I seem to hear the funeral march become a paean or an exultant song. I see beyond the forest the moving banners of a hidden column. Our dead brothers still live for us and bid us think of life, not death, of life to which in their youth they lent the passion and joy of the spring. You know, the life we celebrate as Christians is a life which ended in death, an execution on a cross. And like Oliver Wendell Holmes describes those who died as bidding those of us here to live, so the life and death of Jesus the Christ in some mysterious and life-giving way bids each of us, you and me, to live loving Jesus, loving each other, wrapping our arms around the world and loving it. In our lectionary gospel passage for this sixth Sunday of Easter, Jesus suggests that loving Him means keeping His commandments. Loving Jesus, those who love me keep my commandments, Jesus says. And at our men's breakfast this past Thursday morning at the Caldwell Diner, one of the men asked, well, what are Jesus' commandments? It's a good question, and truthfully, there are many of them in the Gospels, ranging from repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, to do not worry about what you will eat or drink, to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, to if someone asks for your coat, give them your cloak as well. Many, many imperatives of Jesus are uttered by Him in the Gospels. But do you remember the story of when a lawyer comes up and visits Jesus and has a question for Him? He says, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, the greatest commandment is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And then He goes a step further. He says, and a second one is like it. You know what it is. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God and love neighbor. And when you think about it, probably close to 100% of the rest of Jesus' imperatives in the Gospels can fit into the commandments to love God and love neighbor. John says that loving Jesus means following Jesus' commandments. Loving Jesus means loving God and loving neighbor. Now, Jesus didn't simply verbalize loving God and neighbor. If He had only verbalized it, we wouldn't be here singing His praises today. All of us know people who talk one thing, but whose actions betray them. No, Jesus didn't just verbalize loving God and neighbor, Jesus lived it. And churches and individuals who wonder how they are to love Jesus have only to consider Jesus' life. Whatever Christ endorses, that the church must endorse. Whatever Christ condemns, that the church must condemn. Whatever Christ does, that the church must do. Wherever Christ goes, there the church must go. Whatever Christ says, there that the church must say. Wherever Christ leads, there the church, through the gift of the Spirit, must follow. How do we love Christ? How do we honor His death? Not simply by verbalizing I believe statements, but by loving as He loved, extravagantly, compassionately, inclusively. And that, my friends, is a huge challenge. It sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's a huge challenge, not one for the faint at heart, or for those who resist getting involved in the messiness of life. I don't know about you, but it's a challenge I wrestle with every day of my life. Yet, as I wrestle, I also give thanks. I give thanks for the love and the grace of Jesus Christ in my life. And especially on this weekend, I give thanks for the men and women, members of my family, members of your family, yours and my ancestors, who have served and sacrificed so that we might have the privilege of gathering together on the lawn tomorrow morning after a parade, and enjoy a good old American hot dog. How many of you know someone or knew someone personally who died in World War I or World War II or Korea or Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan? Anybody know someone? Yeah, I thought so. Tomorrow, I hope you think about that person and others like him or her. Because if not for that person, that one, your life might be far different. My life might be far different than the ones we lead today. We have a heritage, do we not? Not only as Christians, but as Americans. While our Christian heritage supersedes any national heritage, still we should not take our national blessings for granted. Indeed, with those blessings comes a tremendous responsibility. Part of that responsibility is making sure those who come after us, our children and grandchildren, know not only how to love Jesus, but appreciate the sacrifice of those men and women, their and our ancestors, who have brought us to this place in time. Many of them are heroes.
I love seeing things click in my son's head. It's taken the better part of the last 9 years to master the art of catching this elusive microscopic moment. The instant he realized where hamburgers and his little sister came from have been among the most enjoyable.